Good morning, my name's Loan and I'm doing the second reading out of the Gospel of Mark, following on from where Alice left off. Same on page 859, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come." So he travelled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "Are you willing? If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome to you this morning. Let's pray and ask God for God's help as we open this passage together. Help us to hear your holy word with open hearts so that we may truly understand, and understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all obedience, seeking your honour and glory in all that we do. Amen. Well, over and over again in that passage we just heard read, we see people amazed. We see people amazed by Jesus' authority. Not because he was just an influencer or a great teacher, but because he's God. Who is Jesus to you? Does he have authority in your life? That's the question every person needs to answer. Who is Jesus to you? Pretty much everyone, every historian believes Jesus existed. Every historian believes that. The question is he more than just a teacher? Is he more than just a famous leader? Or is he God, the Son of God, who died on a cross and rose again from the dead? Because if he is, if he truly has all authority, shouldn't that change everything for our world? Shouldn't that change everything for you and for me? Now, maybe you're thinking, well, why would I want anyone to have authority over me? Why would I want that? I want to be in charge of my own life. I want to be free. I want to call the shots. I don't want anyone having a say or authority over me. But I put to you, everyone has some kind of authority in their life. Everyone does, whether you realize it or not. Everyone is living for something. Someone or something that we have put as number one in our life. It may be for you, family. Maybe for you, your number one authority in your life is honoring your parents, honoring your family, doing what pleases them. And for many cultures, that is what the authority is. Maybe for you, your authority is your career. And that's number one in your life, and everything else gets sacrificed for it. All your energy goes to your career. Your identity goes to your career. That's what you're living for. Maybe for you, it's a political persuasion or... The list goes on. Everyone has some kind of authority. The question is it the one true authority? And so if you're here today and you're exploring who Jesus is and you've got questions about Christianity, this is the question to come to. Who do I think Jesus is? Does he have authority? And even if you're here today and you're a Christian, but you've got doubts, this is the question to keep coming back to. It's the question that answers all other questions. Who do I think Jesus is? At the start of the Bible, we see that the sin that humans have made is making ourselves the authority instead of God. Adam and Eve questioned God's authority. And that's when everything started to unravel. But as we look in this passage, we see people amazed by the authority of Jesus Christ. Firstly, we see people amazed at the way Jesus calls with authority. He calls with authority. Look at verse 16 there of Mark chapter 1, verse 16. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat prepping their nets. Without delaying, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. To be a Christian is to be a follower. That's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian is not something you tick on a census form. To be a Christian is not because your parents were Christians. To be a Christian is not even that you come to church, though that's important. To be a Christian, the definition is a follower of Jesus. And Jesus is there and he's calling people. It's the same call for you this morning and me. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. I am God's one and only Son. Follow me. Notice Jesus doesn't say, come, study this course and learn these facts and get the right knowledge and then you're ready. He doesn't say, go and be a good person and obey these rules and maybe then you'll be good enough to get to heaven. He doesn't say that. He just says, come, follow me. It's a response of trust and faith, recognizing who he is and willingly, joyfully following. You notice what it says, it's an immediate response, verse 18, at once they left their nets. Imagine you're sitting in your desk in your workplace and you work for a big organization. You're sitting there at your desk and, you know, someone comes and gives you a job, a task, and it comes from someone who is lower down in the ranks of your organization and they've often got annoying requests. And you might see that. I might come across your desk. You might action it, but you take your time when it's convenient for you. But suppose the CEO of the organization personally summons you to follow them to their office. You know, your boss's 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 boss personally says, come, follow me to my office. You're not saying, I'll get to you in a second. I've got an opening in a few hours. Can I just get a few other things done? I'll think about it, chat with my secretary. You're not saying that. You're immediately following. And so Simon and Andrew and James and John, they got the right response here. It's immediate. They're not going, oh. And often we do that, don't we? It's not immediate. We say, all right, Jesus, I'll think about you. I'll take you seriously. But I've just left school and I really want to just enjoy the first few years of being an adult. Then I'll take you seriously. Or Jesus, I'll take you seriously, but I've just entered the workforce and I mean, this is the prime of my life and I've got an income and I want to travel and then I'll think about you after that, I promise. Or after I finish kids or after I finish work, I'm busy right now, I'm stretched, I've got a new job, then I'll think about you. And so many people keep putting it off. But Jesus is calling you now, no matter what life situation you're in, come follow me. Notice also, when they follow him, they leave their nets. they leave their nets. What are the nets in your life? Well, for James and John, they don't just leave their nets, they leave their father Zebedee in the boat. Poor guy. Now, it's not that there's anything wrong with fishing. You can be a Christian and fish, okay? In fact, the evidence kind of shows that these guys still kept on fishing later. So it's symbolic here. They left behind their old way of life. It actually cost them. You can imagine Zebedee, their dad. Back then, you know, your kids would enter your family business, and I bet he'd been working on his family fishing business for generations. The boats and the nets passed down through generation to generation. He's going, well, hang on, what? You're going to leave it all and follow this random guy, Jesus, who you just met? I mean, it's radical. It cost them. They don't say, all right, Jesus, can I just try it first? Can I just test you out? Kind of like a gym free trial, you know, you get a month. I'll just give it a go. Now, these guys, they're all in. Immediately, leave their nets. Leave it all. Following Jesus. Tim Keller says, if you ever say, Jesus, I'll follow you if, whatever comes after that if, that's your master. That's your authority. That's the thing you're living for. And Jesus is saying, follow me, leave behind the nets. I'm calling you to a new life. Doesn't mean you have to stop your fishing. Doesn't mean you don't care about your dad, poor Zebedee there. But actually, you've got a new authority, a new number one. By the way, anything, though, you leave behind for Jesus, anything you leave behind, any nets, you gain far more. Peter, later in the Bible, he says this, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, no one who's left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come. Anything you sacrifice for Jesus, money, reputation, career, lifestyle, anything, you gain infinitely more. Now, as a Christian, life to the full, and in the life to come. So they follow immediately, they leave their nets, and then Jesus, he actually gives them a mission. He sends them out to be fishers of people. No longer fishing for fish, but fishing for people. He wants to send them out to call others to follow him. To send them out to call others to know his love and know who he is and trust him. And he's sending you as a fisher for people. I hate fishing. I hate it. It's so slow. If I could have a guarantee that there was a hit rate, one fish every 5 minutes, I reckon I'd be in any longer. I ain't got time for that. It takes such patience sitting around. I reckon it's the same with fishing for people. It does take some patience. Sometimes we tell people about Jesus and the response is immediate. And that's so good. Sometimes, though, it's decades of praying for loved ones. Loving them, persevering. Inviting them to things. Never giving up. Listening to them, asking them questions. Patiently hearing their thoughts, their story. That might take patience, but that is the mission we have been given. So that's the first one. Jesus calls with authority. The second one is this. We see Jesus' authority because he teaches with authority. He teaches with authority. Verse 21, the next verse, they came to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. As I preach to you right now, I suppose I have some kind of authority, but I hope none of you are leaving here today going, you know, that guy's God. Then you're in a cult, and so run away. But you can imagine these people, they're sitting there, they're listening to this guy preach in the synagogue, and he's different to all the other teachers they've heard. Because his authority, he's God. He's the Son of God speaking the very words of God. And it puts you today, if you're here and you're not a believer, the teaching of Jesus had such authority, it really did change the course of history. It transformed history. Whether you know it or not, a lot of the things you believe were shaped by Jesus' teaching. And so if you've never opened the Bible for yourself as an adult and studied it, I'm so glad you're here at church. If you've never looked at Jesus yourself, I encourage you to do it. It's so transforming. It's not because he was a great public speaker or had watched TED Talks, but it's because he's God. That means sometimes we're going to open the Bible and there's going to be things that are countercultural for us. Things that aren't politically correct in 2025. And we actually can't go, well, Jesus, you teach with authority and I like that 95%. I'll listen to that, but that 5%, I'm not so much of a fan of that. It's a bit more tricky, so I'm not going to follow you on that. We're not given that option. He either has all authority and all of his teaching is to be obeyed, or he has nothing. How incredible it is. Every time we open the Bible, we're hearing Jesus speak. And his words do things in our lives. His word changes hearts. He calls with authority. He teaches with authority. Number three, he casts out demons with authority. We don't talk about demons very much, but if you are from another culture, or if you go to another country, there's plenty of places that talk a lot about the spiritual world, about the demonic powers. If you've ever read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, there's this senior devil Screwtape. And he's writing letters, he's giving advice to Wormwood, who is a junior devil. And he's given advice to Wormwood about how to make sure that the person that they're trying to torment doesn't go to Jesus. And this is what he gives advice to Wormwood. This is what he says. I don't think you'll have much difficulty keeping that person in the dark. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begins to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights and persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, it's an old textbook method of confusing them, he therefore cannot believe in you. See, we've so reduced the idea of the demonic world to something comical that we don't take it seriously. Well, there's Jesus, he's teaching in the synagogue, this guy walks in, he's possessed by a demon, and this demon, he knows that that is Jesus, the Son of God. He knows that he's going to be destroyed, and he yells out, go away, leave me alone. What do you want with me? And Jesus, just with a word, be quiet. No rituals or special commands, just be quiet, come out. And the demon leaves him. And once again, verse 27, people ask each other, amazed, what is this a new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. You know, if you're a Christian, you don't have to be afraid of demons. You don't have to be afraid even of the devil. Because Jesus has conquered the devil at the cross. And one day when he returns again, Jesus will destroy all those evil powers. Their days are numbered. And if you're a Christian, you have Jesus living in your heart. And you do not need to be afraid. Christians cannot be possessed by the devil. Because you have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has all authority. He calls with authority. He teaches with authority. He drives out demons with authority. Lastly, he heals with authority. Verse 29, we see Jesus, he goes into Simon's mother-in-law's house, and she's in there in bed with a fever. And I've got to say, I have a new appreciation for fevers. I was in hospital with pneumonia over Christmas. I went into hospital after 5 days straight of fevers, and they were the worst fevers I've ever had, and they kept getting worse and worse and worse, and that was a little scary. And I don't think I've ever realized before, it struck me, you know, you read about people with fevers in the ancient world. It was a big deal. There was no Nurofen back then. No antibiotics. It was a big deal. It was scary. And Jesus, with great compassion, touches her. And she's healed. Such compassion. Well, the word spreads. He gets pretty famous. People are lining up to get healed. And the disciples, they're kind of like, you know, thinking about the marketing. And they're going, well, this is pretty good, Jesus. Look at the crowds. Let's get some merchandise out there, you know. Let's capitalize on this success. You are a big deal. And Jesus goes, no, that's not why I've come. I mean, of course Jesus cares about the sick. That's not why I've come. He says, I've come to preach. That's why I've come. I've come to preach. To call people to trust me and follow me. That's why I'm here. Because his main goal is to send himself to the cross. That's why he's come. To die on a cross. Now just think how staggering it is that the one with all authority would lower himself to die on a cross. The one who flung the stars into space, the one who teaches with authority, the one who heals, the one who drives out demons. Would you ever think that his next step, his ultimate goal, would be to die? He doesn't use his authority to serve himself. He uses it to serve us and dies on a cross for you, for me, so we could be forgiven and saved. Amazing love, amazing humility, using his authority, lowering himself and dying a brutal death to save us.
Amen.
Amen. It is incredible news. It's amazing news. And I think the only response we should have is like the crowds, in awe, amazed, and bowing our knees. Will you bow your knee to him? If he truly has all authority, will you bow your knee? One day every knee will bow to Jesus. But it started today as he calls people, the King, the one with all authority, he is calling people to trust him, be saved, and follow him. He's calling you to leave your nets, to leave your boat, and to follow the King and Saviour, and fish for people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that call to the disciples and the call to us. Come, follow me. Lord, we want to follow you, and we don't want to turn back. Help us to live for you each day, to serve and honour you, to put you as our King and Lord. We thank you for the joy of we gain so much more in this life and in the life to come. We thank you, Jesus, that you humbled yourself. You let go of your place at God's right hand and you lowered yourself to death on a cross. Died for our sins and rose again. We worship you, Jesus. Amen.